Hello and welcome. It's good to be with you once more as we have this time before the Lord. And I hope that these times are a blessing to you. I hope they strengthen you and encourage you. I hope that they help you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. And I'm so thankful He's given us this time. And as we open His Word this morning, let's seek His presence and let's seek to hear from Him this morning in prayer. Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, these cooler temperatures, Father, the transition to fall, you've blessed us so much. And Father, Lord, the changing seasons remind us that you are the unchanging God. Lord, that you're the sovereign creator who rules and reigns over all, O Lord. And this creation speaks of your power, your eternal nature, your sovereign control. O Lord, just the wonder and greatness of who you are. And as we're before you this morning, Lord, help us to hear from you. Give us the understanding of your word. And, oh Lord, through your word, help us to hear your voice, to grow in you, to know you better, to be able to walk with you. Lord, to experience your strength, your guidance, your encouragement, your correction if necessary. But, Father God, speak to us, we pray, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you're like me as we go through these days that we live in, you tend to oscillate between concern for where our nation is and our society is, to anger and frustration toward those who are deliberately, frankly, in rebellion against God, doing everything they can to destroy our nation. And you go back and forth between concern over what they do and anger about what they do. And the reality is we're not the first ones to experience those emotions. As we open God's Word this morning to Psalm 10, we see that the psalmist is experiencing this very same thing. In fact, as we look at this psalm, we see that he has, first of all, the burden of the wicked. That is, as he sees what the wicked are like and what they're doing, there's this tremendous burden that he has. But then God works in his heart and directs his attention back to the Lord himself, and it's there that he finds strength and guidance and understanding for the times, which is exactly what we need. This psalm is so timely for where we are as a nation right now, for where we are as believers in a society that at this present time is divided, divisive, going against itself, and increasingly going against the Lord. But as we look at this psalm, the first thing that we see as we begin looking at it is the burden of the wicked. That is the burden that the psalmist feels in relation to the wicked. And he begins in verse 1 by asking the very same questions that we probably have asked, probably many times through the day. Yesterday as we checked the news, this morning as we've already checked the news, probably asked this very same question or questions in verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The psalmist looks around, and let's be honest, we probably ask these very same questions. God, why is this happening? God, why aren't you ending this? God, why do you let this go on? God, why don't you do something about these people and this situation and this crisis and these circumstances? And then the psalmist begins to go on and describes the wicked. And this gives us an understanding of the reality of the world that we live in and the circumstances that we face. As he looks at the wicked and wondering why doesn't God do something, he describes their pride. Look at verses 2 through 4. In pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire, and the greedy man curses and spurns the Lord. The wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek him. All of his thoughts are, there is no God. We look at the wicked. They are haughty. They are arrogant, not only before man, but before God. You know, one of the marks that we've seen in the last several days is a growing arrogance. You know, and obviously we've seen it for several years, and an arrogance that the wicked have toward the righteous. But they've become so bold, if you notice, the past few weeks and months, to even openly speak out against God and to attack God and the things of God, almost without any fear, without any restraint whatsoever. We see them just like these individuals that the psalmist is talking about, puffed up with their pride. They're like a balloon. They're just puffed up on air. But not only do we see their pride, but we see their prosperity. Look at verse 5. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high. As for all of his adversaries, he snorts at them. You think about that. He prospers at all times. How many times have you looked at a sinful, evil, wicked person, and the thought has gone through your mind that they not only get by with it, they get ahead with it? And you might feel like you're struggling, and you keep trying to do everything right, and you get further behind. They seek to do everything wrong, and they seem to get ahead of it. And I do use the word seem, because we'll come back to that in a few moments. But we see their prosperity, and quite frankly, at this time that in which we're living, it does seem like the evil, the wicked, are prospering. That is, they are advancing. Their agenda is being moved forward, being achieved. We see their prosperity. And then we also see their permanence. Look at verse 6. He says to himself, I will not be moved throughout all generations. I will not be in adversity. It seems like nothing is going to stop them. It seems like nothing can hinder them. And again, they seem to go on, and there's no end in sight for them, and that's exactly how they think. And again, like the psalmist, we look at them, we think, God, when is this going to end? When are you going to end this? Is anything going to end this? We also see their perversion. That is the way that they twist and warp things. Look at verse 7. His mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. You know, if anything characterizes the times in which we live, it is the deliberate warping and twisting and perverting of everything that is good and right and beautiful. Certainly, holiness and righteousness, God's standards, whether it's for marriage, for love, amazing, those things have truly been perverted in every single way and twisted. And what we've seen in the last several days, you know, dealing with the affairs of our nation, is the deliberate warping and twisting of our nation's history. Has our nation been perfect in everything? No, but no nation has. But no nation's ever done more to seek to be right and to right wrongs than this nation has. And yet there is an incessant desire to warp it, to twist it, to try to make it into something that it never was, and to try, in fact, to demoralize and to destroy it from its inside out. No, it's not perfect, but no nation's ever sought to be more so. No nation's ever done more to try to be right. And whether it's so-called entertainment, or certainly the news media, certainly politicians, entertainers, we see their perversion on every level, whether it is moral decisions, whether it's political attacks, whether it's an attack on all that the Bible describes as good and right, we see the perversion of their wicked. And again, like the psalmist, we ask, is this going to ever end? And then we see their performance. That is how they carry it out. Look at verses 8 through 11. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the hiding places, he kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. He lurks to catch the afflicted. He catches the afflicted when he draws him into his net. He crouches. He bows down. Unfortunate, the unfortunate fall by his mighty ones. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He's hidden his face. He will never see it. We see their performance. And the reality is, what we see there is that they're acting just like their master. You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, the very first part of the verse, that the thief has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's obviously a reference to Satan. And because it's a reference to Satan, it is a reference to those who serve him, his servants. We don't have to look far for illustrations today. You think about the recent events in our nation. Steal, kill, and destroy. We've seen that evidence so many times. We see the performance of the ungodly, the performance of the wicked. And again, like the psalmist back in verse 1, what goes through our mind, and if you're like me, you go back and forth through the day between concern about what is happening and where it could possibly be heading, to outright anger and resentment about what has happened. And what goes through your mind through all that as a believer is, again, like verse 1, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? We feel that burden of the wicked, that burden that we feel when we see the wicked and what they're doing. And the psalmist, still wrestling, as he goes on into verses 12 and 13, Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the afflicted. Why has the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, You will not require it. Burdened, just like you and I are. But then notice the psalmist, obviously led by God, goes from having the burden of the wicked to having the confidence of God. And as we go through these times, we need the confidence of God. And look at the confidence that we see in this passage, what you and I need to constantly remind ourselves of. As we continue reading through this psalm, we see, that God sees. Look at the very first part of verse 14. You have seen it. You know, you and I, we see these things, and to be perfectly honest, no matter how much we keep up with the news, no matter how well informed we are, we only see a fraction of what's taking place. And we can only guess at the real motivations and intents of the heart. God sees it all. And God sees it all the way down to the heart. Hebrews 4:13 tells us, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." You know, in Revelation chapter 1, as John had that revelation of our Lord in His glory, one of the elements he saw was His eyes were like a flame of fire. That means that nothing is hidden from Him. God sees it all. Yes, we see a little bit, and we get concerned and angry about what we see. God sees it all. There's nothing hidden from Him. Every bit of the corruption, every single bit of the sinfulness, every single bit of the wickedness, and all the way down to the heart condition that drives it, God sees it all. We can have absolute confidence. Our God sees everything, all the way down to the heart. But not only does God see, but we also see in this passage that God judges, still in verse 14. The unfortunate commits himself to you. Actually, let me start back up in the further up in verse 14. You have beheld mischief and vexation to take it into your hand. The unfortunate commits himself to you, and you've been the helper of the orphan. God intervenes. God holds accountable. Now, He blesses the faithful. The unfortunate commits himself to you. You've been a helper of the orphan. But God condemns the evil, as we see going on in verse 15. Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out the wicked, his wickedness until you find none. When you look at the scriptures, when you study history, it's very obvious that God judges both in life, and the scriptures clearly reveal in eternity. Do not think for a moment that a single ounce of this evil wickedness that we see taking place around us is going to go by unchecked, unchallenged, and not held accountable. As we've quoted before, Matthew Henry, the great British pastor and Bible teacher and expositor, once used the illustration of a gristmill, as we would call it, and he made the observation that the wheels of God's justice may grind slowly, but they grind very fine. Believer, we can rest in the fact that God judges. He intervenes for the sake of those who are righteous, and He judges the wicked. As we look at this sinful world, that it may not be this morning, this afternoon, or today, but we need to understand that a righteous judge will, in fact, hold all these things accountable. That's not to say we stick our head in the sand. If there was ever a time we need to be involved in the affairs of our nation, to be in prayer for our nation, to vote in this coming election, to educate ourselves about voting and the real issues at stake here, it's now. But there needs to also always be a confidence in our heart that this God judges sin. Not only does He judge sin, but notice as well, He reigns. Remember the wicked. They thought no one could hold them accountable. They thought that they would go on forever. They thought that they would always be prosper in what they do. But look at verse 16. The Lord is King forever and ever. Nations have perished from His land. As we've quoted before, Psalm 115:3. Keep quoting it because it's so concise and short to the point. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Sinful little man may puff himself up on this world and may think he's getting by for a season and accomplish a little bit of his sinful objectives, but our God rules and reigns over all, and His reign will in fact be firmly established. Nothing will thwart it. His plan will in fact unfold just exactly as He wants it to. Nothing can resist God's will. But then notice as well, God hears. Look at verses 17 and 18. O Lord, You've heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline Your ear to vindicate the orphan and the oppressed, so that the manners of the earth will no longer cause terror. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. When the psalmist looked at God, his whole perspective changed, and he knew he could trust the God through prayer. If there was ever a time that we need to be in prayer for our nation, it's now. And understand, we are praying before to the God who is sovereign and in control. It's not merely a way to relieve our stress and our anxiety, which it certainly does that, but it's petitioning the one who rules and reigns. And yes, more than ever, we need to be involved in the affairs of our nation, but more than ever, the first step of that is to truly be in prayer for our nation. God hears those prayers. As we look at what's taking place around us and we gravitate or oscillate, if you're like me, between concern and anger, before we look at that, we need to look at God. Not to diminish the times, not to stick our head in the sand, but it is in God that we find the strength, the guidance, the comfort that we need in these times. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you. That, O Lord God, you are the living God. You are sovereign. You reign. You rule. You determine what will happen. Yes, Father, in your perfect wisdom, you've allowed sinful man under the rule of Satan to go in this direction to they think, fulfill their plans, but, Father, for you to ultimately fulfill your plan for your Son to rule and reign. Lord, we come to you this morning. Father, we pray for our nation. O Lord God, Spirit, Father, have mercy. Yes, O God, end these things, but end them, O God, by revival, by repentance, by renewal. O Lord God, show yourself as God to this nation. And Father, open our eyes as believers to see that you are God. And in you, O Lord, may we find our strength and our confidence for the events in our world and the events in our lives. May we rest in you, seek you. Lord, help us to turn our eyes toward you and to see you in your glory, might, power, and splendor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we go through these times, more than ever, we need to look to our Lord. He is sufficient. He is great. He is sovereign. I hope that today you'll know his strength and guidance. And I hope in him, in spite of what's taking place, that you'll have a great day.